This is Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.
I shudder thinking how the world can be so cruel. I lend my voice to those who can't. It's time we try, it's time we care, it's time we stand. It starts with
the voice. Welcome to the Special Chronicles show. My name is Daniel Smukowski. I'm the founder of Special Chronicles and a Southern Tribal Global Messenger alum with Special Olympics. It's new to to add that alum pout. Our website, specialchronicles.com, which gives you my archives of over 750 episodes absolutely for free. And to follow Special Chronicles on social media, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This week on the Special Chronicles podcast, our returning guest and friend of the a program is a two-time guest, Tim Shriver Jr., co-founder of Spread the Word, as we're celebrating and reflecting on 15 years of this global campaign where we think the world will be better if everyone will be included. Around the world, exclusion and discrimination continue to divide people with or without intellectual or developmental disabilities, like myself and the millions and millions of Special Olympics athletes across the globe. We are changing that with grassroots action for inclusion. That's Spread the Word. Please put your virtual hands together as we welcome Tim back on the Special Chronicles podcast. Welcome back, Tim.
Thank you, Daniel. It's such a privilege and an honor to be back. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, and it's as if we're in the same studio right now.
Yeah, you got a good setup. We're sitting right next to each other.
I know we are. It's awesome, and which we've sat next to each other in person at the World Games, at the Law Enforcement Toast One Conference, and so. I'm glad when I reached out to you to come on again. I thought the beginning of March is a good time.
Well, I'm so glad you reached out. Always honored by the ask. And next time, if I do get invited back, we'll have to actually film this in person at some point.
At some point, yeah. With I believe when your dad was on during the 50th anniversary, we did that in person. And your dad told you it was in the hallway of a hotel.
So of course, yeah. That sounds right.
So before we get into the main topic for this episode, I thought we'll talk a little bit about the Special Olympics Founders Council. Your sister Kathleen and your niece Molly have been on the show in the past. I'll try to put a link to that episode in the show notes. But they talked as the chairwoman for the Founders Council. They talked about that. But I thought we could begin because in June 2023, you and I both attended the Special Olympics World Games in Berlin. And you and your siblings and cousins on the Founders Council had hosted the Founders Reception, and along with fellow Southern Tribal Global Messenger, Asib, you both had co-emceed the Founders Reception. And then myself and Manu and Nasha, we were part of the first unified trivia game, which was a lot of fun. So long-time listeners will might know a little bit about the Founders Council, but from your perspective, can you share with us what is the Founders Console, and maybe go into a little bit about the Founders reception that you and your siblings and cousins had hosted.
Absolutely. Thank you for the question, Dan. It's been an incredible experience these last few years creating and getting off the ground this Founders Council for my siblings and cousins and I. We were charged. So to step back, my grandmother, cared about probably two things above all in her life. One was Special Olympics and the other was family. And she always wanted to bring those together in powerful ways. We were all expected and invited in engaging with, taking part in, volunteering in, attending, supporting Special Olympics. It was a part of all our childhood, especially mine and my siblings, as my dad's involvement in the movement. She always wanted Special Olympics to be a place where our family remained very, very engaged in support of, in protection of, and forwarding the mission of Special Olympics, centered on athletes, centered on sport, centered on the powerful impact that was possible with the Special Olympics mission. So after she passed away, a little over a decade ago, we started thinking about how do we keep her energy alive, her story alive, her mission alive in and through Special Olympics. And the idea that came up was to create this Founders Council, which was our generation, of her grandchildren, to come together and represent her voice, her story, and forward the mission of Special Olympics together. And so that was the kind of original idea of the Founders Council, that, find a way to keep our generation deeply engaged in the mission. And there's been a few ways that's, come to life. And the Founders Council reception in Berlin was one of those ways it came to life. And so the idea of that event was to share my grandmother's story with those who maybe were newer to the movement and didn't know who she was or didn't know as much about her, and the ways in which Special Olympics came to life, first in her and her story as a sister of someone with a disability, Rosemary, and then as a camp director, Camp Shriver, which is where it started in her backyard, to the inception of Special Olympics, and to be able to share that story, to share her vision, and to be able to continue that vision, in an organization like Special Olympics that, works in hundreds of countries around the world with millions of people around the world, which is an incredible gift, that kind of spread of an organization, that kind of size of the movement. But one of the great challenges as you get past 50, going on 60 years of a movement, is you can go in a lot of different directions with a mission. And what we're really here to do is to make sure we stay focused on the mission that Special Olympics was founded for, and to continue, again, push that mission into the future. And one of the great gifts of that particular event is, again, we got to co-create it, co-lead it with an incredible group of Sergeant Shriver Global Messengers, including yourself. It was just a blast. It was such an incredible event. I was so privileged and honored to be a part of it. And, I can't wait for what we, athletes, Founders Council members, Special Olympics staff, members of the movement, all get to create together next to keep my grandmother's story and vision alive.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to be there and to talk with so many people part of the movement. I met a few of the global ambassadors there, and it was so empowering, not only to be part of the Unified Trivia game, but to be able to connect and to be part of the family of this movement.
Yeah. I mean, I think what my grandmother always wanted was Special Olympics to be a family. I mean, a place of inclusion for everyone, and that was what the kind of family she tried to create. And this way she raised her kids and her grandkids. And, it's really the ethos of Special Olympics that was, started with her.
Yeah, absolutely. So many of us athletes, myself included, and so many that whether on the local level or with my fellow Southern Tribal Global Messengers have talked about firsthand just how not only do we have all families at home, but all Special Olympics families. So it's really gratifying how you and the Founders Council are keeping that spirit alive of your grandmother. As we move along to kind of weed, I'm sure longtime listeners might remember the last time that you were on, but that was I think you were on one of the early episodes. So that was maybe 15 years ago.
It was a long time ago.
I was trying to. I believe the last maybe if I'm sure that there will be some listener out there that might go back in the archives on specialchronicles.com and might correct us, but I believe the topic was on the Special Olympics College Program. I believe. Can you share with us how we got connected and some of our first interactions? I also came out with our mutual friend Darian Packard to the Unified game in Chevy Chase, I believe. So you can kind of share with us a little bit of how we got connected and your connection to our movement, and in particular to that Unified basketball game that took place in, I believe it was Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. But Daniel, you'll have to forgive me. I should probably have asked you this before the show. I don't remember. We've been friends for a long time. I don't actually remember like the first. Did we meet first in Boise? Where was the actual? You're asking me like where did it start? I'm like, yeah. And it's a little fuzzy. It was a long time ago.
I know it was a little. I don't think I attended those games in Boise, and I was,
I think that's a good sign. We've been friends for a long time. We don't remember when it all started. But either way, it's been a while.
Anyways, it's been a while.
I don't remember many of my good friends. I don't remember the first time I met them necessarily, but I know we've had a lot of good times along the way. So, yeah, I'm happy to talk about, the local program in Maryland where I grew up. So, when I was a little personal history, when I was 6 or 7, my dad was a teacher in New Haven, Connecticut. That's where we lived. My mom was a lawyer. My dad was a teacher. My mom worked, it was a poverty lawyer. My dad was a high school teacher. And Special Olympics decided to come to Connecticut for the World Games. The Special Olympics World Games were based in New Haven, Connecticut in 1995. My dad took a leave of absence from teaching to put on the World Games there in Connecticut. And it was after those games that my grandmother decided it was time for her to step down and asked my dad to come down here to Maryland, to DC, to lead Special Olympics internationally, which is a big change for our family. We moved back here to Maryland. But it also meant that our family changed quite a bit. So my dad was now leading Special Olympics internationally. He was going to China 4 times a year. He was traveling the world. He was working with hundreds of countries, with millions of athletes, and trying to figure out how to spread Special Olympics, grow it across the continent of Asia, across the continent of Africa, build up, programs around other parts of the world. Meanwhile, at home, my mom had us 5 kids. And my mom was determined that Special Olympics would not just be something my dad did out around the world, but something we did at home. And so she partnered with a mom at our elementary school, a mom of a girl who had a disability, and said, we're going to create Special Olympics here at home. And so I think it was in 3rd grade, my mom pulled us out of whatever winter sports we were doing and put us in Special Olympics Unified at home in Maryland. And one of my buddy's dads became our coach. And that was the start of Special Olympics Unified for me. And this was the early days of Unified Sports. People forget that Unified Sports is only a thing of the last probably 15, 20 years. This was like very early days before that. Special Olympics was only for people with disabilities. There were no unified partners. So these are the early days of that. We were all kind of just getting to know it. And that was the program I grew up in. So I was a unified partner for all of elementary school and middle school. And by the end of middle school, beginning of high school, I began coaching. I was coaching that team through the end of high school. And then when I went off to college, I kept coaching, started coaching floor hockey instead of basketball. But I give that whole story because, you know, our family's obviously been deeply engaged in Special Olympics my entire life. I felt like, you know, I was raised within the movement, raised within the family of Special Olympics. But home for us was this unified basketball team. And literally last week, I was at the exhibition game for that team, you know, 25 years later, still going, still incredibly powerful. A lot of my friends who played on that team with me in fourth, fifth, sixth grade, they're still playing today. And I got to go cheer them on just last weekend. So it's been incredible to see the growth of that. I mean, from when I was literally a third grader, we had just moved to Maryland. And you know, just getting started in unified sports. And now, of course, unified sports is all across the world. It's an incredibly important and powerful part of the movement. And it's still a really incredibly powerful and important part of our community at home here in Maryland. And actually, my two children, who are 5 and 2, got to be a part of it for the first time this year. So brought them home. We're now here home and living in Maryland. And so they were at the game with us. They were at practices all winter. So it's been a really full circle moment for me. Of kind of my life growing up within Special Olympics and now bringing my kids into that. So I'm really appreciate you asking because it's like a special moment as, you know, for me on that front.
Yeah. And I'm sure our listeners will enjoy that personal story as well as the history of those early days of unified sports. We're going to now move into the main topic for the program, which is about Spread the Word. And for those of you just listening to the audio podcast, go check out the video on YouTube. And you probably noticed, Tim, I changed the way you and I are. I changed you to the left side and me to the right side because for those of you watching, the Spread the Word logo is above you and the Special Chronicles logo is above me. So I wanted to kind of fit that with with both of us. But tell us about the early days. I'm sure many of our listeners have been involved with this campaign over the years, but I'm sure there might even be some new listeners who are just learning about this campaign, including being one of four of the original Special Olympics athletes that United Airlines hired 5 years ago. I'm constantly letting coworkers know about this podcast and our Unified at Work series, which our Unified at Work series features conversations about the meaning of inclusive employment. And so I'm sure we'll have, whether it's United Airlines employees or many of our new listeners might be hearing about this campaign for the first time. So can you take us back to the early days, 18 years ago. How does the world be? I saw on the website, and we'll put a link to the spreadtheworld.global in the show notes. So, well, of you listening, you can look down below that you and our mutual friend, Solon Palumbo, who I actually ran into him at the airport in Chicago.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, a couple years ago, we were being the video team at United was interviewing me and another service ambassador at the airport. And so right after I went to him and they actually filmed us. I don't think they ended up using the footage, but I went into him and his wife and his kids. And so that was a small world. So you founded it and the campaign focused 10 years ago on addressing the powerful form of exclusion, the word we totally touted. You take us back to the old days, 15 years ago. How did Spread the Word begin?
Yeah, I mean, if you'll forgive me another personal story, Spread the Word began for me in second grade. In second grade, Loretta Claiborne, Chief Inspiration Officer for the Board of Special Olympics International, kind of a world-renowned Special Olympics athlete herself, global speaker. I'm sure many people listening will have heard of Loretta Claiborne. She was close friends with my grandmother and my father, and had the great gift of having her come speak to our classroom when I was a second grader. She showed us her medals. She taught us how to play soccer, you know, and it was really, really fun. And as she was getting ready to go, she said, you know, to all the kids in the room, do you know the rhyme, you know, sticks and stones? And so we all recited it back to her. Sticks and stones will break my bones, the words will never hurt me. Like, we were like very proud of ourselves because we knew all the words. And she paused and she got very quite serious. And she said, you know, I have been hurt plenty in my life by sticks and stones. She had a really rough growing up. She had a lot of, stuck in a lot of really rough situations in her life. And she said, but you know, the pain, most painful hurt that I've ever experienced actually came from words. You know, it wasn't the sticks and the stones, it was words, particularly one word, the word retard or retarded. And she said, please, you know, I charge you to stop using that word and to make your friends, ask your friends to stop using that word too. And that landed in a huge way for me. I was such a huge fan of hers. And it became kind of a rallying cry for me. And I think for my siblings who all got the same message. And so we grew up with a sense of like, that word is a word we don't use. That is a word we don't allow used around us without speaking up. And in a lot of environments, that's not always easy to speak up. There's plenty of times where I didn't speak up and I thought I should have. And I felt like I didn't want to be the one making a problem for people. I didn't want to make people feel bad. But you know, most of the time I really tried to speak up. And when I got to college, a few things happened. I got connected to Soren, and Soren had grown up with a sister with a disability. I'd given a really powerful speech in high school about the power of this word and why we needed to stop using it. And he felt really passionately about it as well. And together we kind of put our heads together with a few others and said, you know, what do we as college students have to offer the Special Olympics movement? And we said, you know, we have youth leadership, we have energy, we have, you know, social media was just breaking onto the scene. You know, we have the power of the internet. And so we wanted to figure out what could we do to rally our generation to support the Special Olympics movement, to spread inclusion, and particularly to change the way we spoke. Because we felt like we also heard it the most. You know, it was a word that was used the most on the sports field and in the gyms and the auditoriums of the high schools and colleges where we spent our time. So we said, we can do something about this. And so at the Boise World Games in 2009, we had brought about 30 folks around, college students from around the country, to say, you know, what we as college students can offer. And one of the big things we came away with, in addition to Special Olympics College, which was on-campus programming for Special Olympics clubs around the country, in addition was this campaign, this idea of rallying young people to stop using the word and to spread the message to their friends and family to end the use of the word retard. And so we had lots of ideas, but we're like, okay, how do we put this in action? Like, what does this actually look like in a day-to-day? How do we bring this back to our campuses? And I don't know if I've told this story publicly before, or certainly not on the podcast, but what happened is that Soren and I were asked to speak to a bunch of high school students who had all been brought, about 5,000 high school students from around Boise and around Idaho had been brought to watch the games. So they asked two youth leaders, that was Soren and I, to get on stage and say a few words about being youth leaders in the Special Olympics movement. And Soren and I looked at each other behind stage and said, this is our chance. Like, there are cameras out there and people listening and 7,000 kids in the crowd. Like, this is our chance to launch this idea we had, spread the word to end the word. We had the campaign name. And we knew we wanted to do something, but we didn't exactly know how to do it. So we said, this is behind stage, I promise you. We said, well, we have to have a day. We have to have a day that people can rally around. And this was like the beginning of February. And we're like, well, it has to be the first or the last day of the month, so it's memorable. because if it's not the first or last day, we don't have any signs. We don't have a website. No one's going to remember it. So it has to be like a memorable number. So I was like, okay, first or last day of the month. March 1st is too soon. April 1st is April Fool. So we don't want to do that. By the end of April, it's going to be colleges are starting to get out. So March 31st. So we settled on March. We were like, that was our thinking. It's like March 31st has to be the day. And so we walk out on stage and said, March 31st, 2009, that is going to be the first annual Spread the Word to End the Word Day. I promise you that's how it started. And we knew we had, you know, the 10 colleges, about 30 young people from about 10 colleges that were there. We knew all those 10 colleges would participate. And we hoped that in those 6 weeks, we could get a few more. And I'll never forget walking off the stage that day and the Special Olympics media folks who are, you know, responsible when Special Olympics announces stuff to like have information. They were like, what did you guys just do? What did you just announce? And we're like, we're not sure, but we're going to figure it out. They weren't so happy with us. But we were really excited and we were inspired and we knew we had a collection of people, you know, with and without disabilities who were ready to take this on, who were ready to bring this movement to life. And that first year we were kind of pleasantly surprised that, you know, we got our website up, we got Facebook page up, you know, this time everything's on Facebook. And we launched that first event and, you know, we had like probably 30 colleges around the country participated. And we were like, we were stoked. We were like, this is incredible. 30 colleges. Like we got several thousand signatures. And we just thought that was amazing. And what we had no idea is how this would take on a life of its own. And so the next year it was several hundred colleges. The year after that, it was well over 500. And I think by the fourth year, we broke 1,000 colleges, high schools, some companies. It started to spread across the world, in that period. And then it just took off from there. We started to get recognition. We started to see this change that got us really excited, which was we had always previously, when someone in the public eye had used the word retard, we would usually engage in some letter writing. We would post about it. We try to rally people to say, hey, can you get the message to this person that they need to change their language? And it would take a lot of work. We started to see this change where people would use the word retard and then they would catch themselves and they would self-correct. And that's when we started to say, I think something's working here. Like, I think we're actually having an impact here, which was, again, shocking to us. You know, I mean, we had a big vision, but we didn't know exactly how it would come to life. And we started to see celebrities use the word and then correct themselves, catch themselves before we had to go tell them. And we started to hear the word being used less and less. And we started to hear that from high school students and college students to the point where at the 10-year mark, back in 2019, we had a lot of young people. And again, at this point, Soren and I were no longer consider ourselves like young people. You know, we were in our early 30s. And Special Olympics was getting the message, hey, we need something more because this word is not getting used nearly as much as it used to be. We've all signed the pledge. We've gotten all our friends and family. We need something more. We want to go beyond just stopping the use of this word. And that's where Spread the Word Inclusion kind of came and this pivot in 2019.
Awesome. I want to kind of jump back quickly to when you shared Yo Postmo Stoi with Spread the Word, and gonna briefly kind of share just for the sake of time. I don't have a lot of time to get into a lot of detail, but I posted a story of when I was in third grade, as well as when I was in high school, and with my challenges, I would come home from school in tears because of classmates making fun of me, both in third grade, all the way through, even still in high school, where points where, and I'm sure other special Elizabeth actors can relate to this as well, but there will be times like, even in high school, I would come home depressed from not wanting to go to school because of those hopeful words, because of those hopeful comments of classmates. This was before social media, which probably dates both of us. But I'll let you comment. Yeah, like those early days that just thinking back to that brings back a painful moment that really now today I'm glad that we have this campaign that that helps to change those attitudes because it does make a positive difference, particularly in school.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons. No. I was just going to say. I mean, I really appreciate you sharing your story here, Daniel. And it's I think it's important to return to, if we can, these moments and remember why this matters. I've heard so many folks over the years, friends, dear friends, people I have never met before, come and share painful moments of being bullied, and driven by the use of this word, or tagged by the use of this word. And one of the reasons I think Spread the Word took off the way it did is because I think there was a silent mass of people who were either people with disabilities who had been called this word, who were siblings of people with disabilities, who were friends of people with disabilities, who felt the pain, who had grown up feeling the pain, whether from their friends, from themselves, from their siblings, and knew the pain of this word and wanted to speak up, but had never had a group of people around them to say, let's speak up together. And I think that's one of the reasons Soren and I wanted to do this is because we both felt compelled to speak up, but we wanted to be surrounded. I mean, selfishly, I wanted people around me backing me when I said to a friend, when I said to a teammate, when I said to a teacher, hey, that's not okay. And it's often not easy to do that. It's a lot easier to do that when you're surrounded, when you're backed by a community of people who said, we're here with you. And I think that was one of the powerful things about that kind of nascent moment of social media and nascent moment of community building is we could feel like, and we can give that feeling to each other of like, you know what, you can walk into your high school, you can walk into your college, you can say the thing that you've been wanting to say, which is this hurts. This hurts me, this hurts my brother, this hurts my friend, and it's not okay. And it's not okay, and I can say this because I've got a campaign behind me, I've got a movement behind me, I've got a family and a community behind me. And I think that's one of the reasons it took off, not because it was some brilliant idea from Soren and I, but because we just tapped into like, hey, we wanted support and community around this really challenging moment, which is speaking up when it's not easy. And I think a lot of other people wanted that too. And I think when we all started to say, yeah, we all want this, and now we can all speak together with a single voice, or with our own voice backed by a chorus of voices behind us, I think it's another thing we didn't fully realize, I think, at the beginning, how much that was true, and how much that's what we were doing for ourselves, frankly.
Yeah.
This is more only on looking back can I kind of see that. It was a movement on the back of so many people's painful moments. You know, it was built from a lot of pain, from a lot of people, for decades and decades of bullying and decades of taunting and of mistreatment.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, and it even made me think that the decades of pain that Spread the Word is based on you know, when your grandmother 55 years ago, I believe it was 55 years ago, had founded Special Olympics, started this movement in her backyard. Would you say that it's also that she with her sister and with the decades of institutionalized for those of us with intellectual disabilities prior to 1968, but those decades and decades, that's what, like, that's the change that with Special Olympics. It almost kind of seems like the same thing that you and Cohen did with Brother Wood. Would you kind of if you were to kind of connect those two dots?
Yeah, I mean, I hesitate to compare myself to my grandmother. Incredible work that she did. Oh, yeah. But I will say, I mean, I think it's something I learned from her.
Yeah,
you know, from her the way in which you can take pain in your family, in your community, the exclusion, the experience of exclusion, the experience of abuse, the experience of bullying, and can transform that. And I think that's what she showed all of us, is like how to take, you know, the experience she had as a sister and transform that into something beautiful and powerful and inclusive. And so I think so many of us, I mean, Daniel, I think of you with this podcast. I mean, I think, you know, this is your, I mean, the way I see you, you know, as you go around the world to speak as a global messenger, as you take this podcast and record 750 episodes. I mean, that's mind boggling, the amount of work you've done and the amount of people you've touched and reached. And it seems to me like, you know, you've taken your experience, the challenges that you grew up with and the ways in which the world was not always kind to you, and transformed it into this powerful message, this powerful platform. And so I think, you know, so many of us, I mean, I certainly think I learned that from my grandmother, and that seeds of that learning were a big part of Spread the Word Anywhere. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I absolutely. And that is a better way to see how your grandmother inspired and empowered you to found this. So I love the way that you put on that. And speaking of that family and community that rallied and that got behind you, is there for the second time, I'm just like a brief story of either a family member or a community that helps to helps to explain how Spread the Word has evolved over the years from 2010 to 2018 to 2019 till today, 2024, like over the past 15 years, is there, you know, family member, whether it's one of your sisters or brother or cousin or a community, that is there a story that kind of speaks to you of how Spread the Word has evolved over the years?
I'm trying to think of a story, a family story. Nothing immediately comes to mind on that front, but I think the most powerful thing, you know, again, you know, as I've less and less can consider myself, I mean, I'm now far past being considered a young person, but as Soren and I grew older, the campaign grew, you know, we really tried to focus to the extent that we continue to be, you know, play roles in it, focus on what we're hearing from young people. And Special Olympics has really taken this on, you know, especially with international, really leads and engages the community in the campaign every year. And I think, you know, around the 10-year mark, we heard, you know, this work, it's not done. The word's not gone. Bullying isn't gone. All this is still there. But, you know, the word itself is not the thing to focus on. That's what we were hearing from young people. we heard enough stories from young people saying, you know, we're not hearing it as much. You know, everyone signed the pledge. We want something else. And so these last 5 years have been really focused on spreading inclusion as opposed to spreading a campaign to end the use of the word. And I think that's, you know, been a beautiful thing to watch, you know, more, and to see how young people around the country and the world, you know, 80 countries around the world have taken this on to spread inclusion in their communities. I think, you know, we're in an interesting moment now where we've actually started to hear some new feedback, where, you know, we've heard from young people, you know, we might be slipping back. We might be slipping back. We're hearing the word now again more.
Yeah.
And not only that, we're hearing other words. We're hearing other words, you know, words around autism, on autistic, and things like that now being used in pejorative ways. And that the language environment is evolving, as you'd expect. Language does evolve. And so I think the, you know, Special Olympics and the campaign itself is really wrestling with what's next. You know, what is the next step, and what is the best way to use the momentum and the legwork that's gone into this campaign to continue to engage young people in speaking out, in speaking to the power of language, in speaking out against bullying, in speaking in favor of inclusion. And Soren and I certainly aren't the people to answer that question. You know, we're now parents of young children. And so I think this is where, you know, we hope that young people around the world, and, you know, we already see this, you know, with youth leaders all around the world, take up that mantle and decide, you know, what needs to be next. And I think, you know, we're at a pivot point where we got to figure that out. And I don't have the answer.
Absolutely. Speaking of the future, and you said that the words are coming, the words and similar hopeful words are coming back today, 2024. And so this campaign is still needed today. But in 2019, the Spread the Word to End the World became a Spread the Word. And then it became Spread the Word Inclusion. And then now this year, changing to just Spread the Word. You talked a little bit about it earlier, but can you share a little bit more about the reason? Like, and even with how you... just a few moments ago, you said that the R word and the future, that hopeful words are still coming back. So is it, can you kind of comment a little bit more on why this change, with even with the hopeful words still coming back? Is it going to go back to Spread the Word in the world? Is it going to, what kind of made it change to just Spread the Word, with even now today, 2024, with the hopeful world still coming back? Kind of comment kind of on that change.
I'm not sure I can give you a good answer other than what I've shared, which frankly is, I think there's a lot being figured out. You know, I think we're at a pivot point where we need to, and the campaign needs to figure out and you know, do some listening, do some understanding, and hear from young people about what is needed. And so I think, you know, I think if I had a message to listeners, it's like, you know, if you have a strong idea, a strong opinion, like, you know, I think Spread the Word needs to hear about it, and I think and needs leaders who want to, you know, bring their ideas into the world. And I think it can be a platform and a campaign that can help do that. And, you know, I think part of the pivot this year is to refocus on language, refocus on spreading the word to end the harmful and hurtful use of certain pejorative words.
Awesome.
And there's more work to do. Yeah.
Awesome. I absolutely agree. Coming out to the, as you've talked about Spread the Word, and you've shared in the past 44 minutes of how Spread the Word has come a long way as co-founder of Spread the Word. Can you, and I'm going to use this Instagram post as the background is blending into my phone, but share this Instagram post from the at Pledge to include the Instagram account full spread the word. And we'll put links to that in the show notes for any of you that want to go and follow. But they posted a quote from you, Tim, that said, "The motivation for Spread the Word began in my second grade class. And from that day forward, I knew I had given a job." Of course, you said that the in 2009, you and Boeing started the campaign in Boise at the World Winter Games. But this quote, can you comment a little bit more and share with our listeners that personal story of your motivation for the road that began in your second grade class?
So that was Loretta. That was Loretta's charge. And I felt as she walked out of that classroom, like I had to be in the job. And I didn't want to let Loretta down because she was like a hero. I feel like tears come to my eyes, emotional, just like thinking about it. Like it was, I mean, you know, she's such a special, you know, figure in my life, in my world. And someone I've just admired my entire life. And so I think, when she told us that, you know, 8-year-old me was like, I got to do something about that. That had a really powerful impact on the shape of my life and the direction of my life. And I think as I began, you know, playing Special Olympics Unified and having a closer and closer group of friends who, some of whom disabilities and some of whom didn't. I got closer and closer to the beauty of Special Olympics, but also the pain of a lot of the experience of a lot of my friends who have been bullied and who are being bullied. And so I think, you know, it started with Loretta's charge, which hit home in an incredibly powerful way for me. And then it just grew. As you know, my community grew, as the stories I heard and experienced and watched grew, the people that I cared about, the people that I loved. It was deeply personal for me. Deeply personal.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that personal, that deeply personal story with our listeners. I want to point out to all of you listening, go ahead and comment on this Instagram, send us a message. You can drop an email to this podcast, feedback@specialchronicles.com, and share with us your motivation for Spread the Word. And at the end, we can share how they can share it with Special Olympics. I'm sure for those of you listening if you would like to just if you don't want to post it online, you can email feedback@specialchronicles.com. would love to hear your motivation. Talk now a little bit before we take a quick break, but in talk a little bit about the impact the Spread the Word has had on the community and beyond. Is there any, from whether it's hearing stories on social media, whether it's going to the World Games, like we just had a year ago in Berlin, hearing Spread the Word and the impact that it's had on the community, is there a particular story that speaks to you?
I'm trying to think of a particular story. I mean, I think, you know, as I shared before, the impact that I saw, the thing that I finally found most powerful was back in 2019, when we were hearing from young people who were calling and saying, we need something more because this has, you know, we don't have anyone else to ask or have sign a pledge. Like this has reached a critical mass. And so I think that was a moment for me that was really kind of jaw-dropping. You know, I didn't imagine that there'd be a point at which people would say, you know, we don't need this as it exists anymore. We need something new. So I think that was probably like the most powerful moment that felt like kind of indicative of the impact that the campaign had had. The young people were saying, you know.
Awesome. Awesome.
We don't need it.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we will get into the final segment where we talk about the 2024 day of activation, as well as how you listeners can connect with Spread the Word and Special Olympics as well. So I just want to just take a quick break to let you know that support for Special Chronicles comes from listeners like you. If hearing from Tim Stowe and all of our guests has empowered you as an independent public media podcast, Special Chronicles has and will always be there for you. But now asking for your support, we can only make programs like Special Chronicles with listener support. If you enjoy this candid and honest and empowering conversations every week, we could not do this support without your support. Listeners that tell us that that our episodes, our podcasts are enjoyable and necessary for the intellectual and developmental disability community and everyone else who is able to listen to stories about life from a different angle. Please, if you and your family love our weekly podcast, make a monthly or one-time gift of thanks today. You can support this podcast at specialchronicles.com/give. At specialchronicles.com/give. And support also comes from ComEd. Special Chronicles is proud to partner with the ComEd Energy Force Ambassador Program, which is the country's first energy efficiency and solar education program designed for and taught by people with disabilities. ComEd is powering lives and is powering us to keep the lights on, and the technology is powered on of this podcast. You can learn more at specialchronicles.com/ComEd. That's specialchronicles.com/ComEd. And support also comes from United Airlines Bridge Disability Business Resource Group. Bridge is committed to being an ally for all employees and customers with disabilities. They help to create internal awareness to keep accessibility needs in mind. Bridge is connecting people of all abilities. You can book your travel today on united.com or the award-winning United app. You can learn more at specialchronicles.com/united. That's specialchronicles.com/united. And now back to wrap up our conversation with Spread the Word co-founder Tim Shriver Jr. right here on specialchronicles.com. And we're back. I tried to fade that out as best that I could hear, Tim. In the past 50 minutes of this episode, you've shared a lot about the impact and motivation, shared some personal stories with our listeners. And so now, as in the final minutes of the program, it's a perfect time this week. This episode of the episode drops on Mondays. Monday morning is 9 a.m. Central Time. And so it's a perfect time to air this episode with you. And this week, as well as all year round, can you tell us about this year's Day of Activation, when it is happening this week? I encourage our listeners to get ready to rally around those. The countdown is for the day of activation is March 6th. Our listeners can learn more at spreadtheworld.global, spreadtheworld.global. Like, can you tell us about this year's day of activation and how our listeners can take action to spread the word in inclusion?
Absolutely. Thank you, Daniel. So this year, it's on March 6th. It's in March of every year. But this year, it's March 6th. Coming up in 4 days from the time of this filming. Spread the Word .global is going to have all your resources. It's going to be a place where you can make a virtual pledge. It's going to have stories and videos that you can watch, that you can learn from, that you can share. It's also going to have resources for holding events in your own communities, at your school, at your place of business. And, you know, that's going to be the place to go, spreadtheword.global. That's where you can sign up and find more resources. You can also find the campaign on Instagram and on Twitter, pledge to include, as well as follow all the kind of Special Olympics handles that are going to have a lot of energy and ideas and stories that day. So I would say, you know, check out the website. If you've been a part of this for years, check out what's there. We've added resources. I actually just went back and looked at the website, and you can actually go back and see there's a piece written by me and Soren, and there's a picture of us from 2009 on the stage. You can see what 15 years ago looked like. It was funny looking back and remembering that. But again, 15 years of resources since then, hearing from a lot of different people, a lot of different voices, a lot of different stories, videos, etc. And so I would really check that out, and I would follow us, the campaign, on social media. And again, to my ask, like, you know, one of the asks of the campaign is like, how are you going to spread inclusion? But my ask to you is, you know, please share how you're going to spread inclusion. Also share, like, what do you think is next? What does this community, what does this campaign, what does this movement need to be focused on next? What's happening in your school? What's happening at your college? What's happening in your community? You know, what is the nature of the way people are speaking to each other today? In some ways, you know, we've come so far on the use of this particular word. We also are living, you know, outside of Special Olympics, you know, in the greater world, we live in a time of a tremendous amount of animosity, a tremendous amount of hateful language being thrown around in politics, in business, in a lot of environments, you know, in geopolitics. And so it's a really powerful time for the voice of a community that has learned and knows what it means to build momentum and a movement around the way we speak to each other, knows the importance of how we speak to each other. And so I think I challenge you to think not just in terms of what does our community, what does the Special Olympics community, the community of people with disabilities and those who love them need in this moment? What does the larger world need to hear from us? What does the larger world need to hear from the lessons we've learned and you've learned about how to spread inclusion, about how to invite people into community, about how to belong, about how to include in ways that previously weren't imagined? Because the world desperately needs it. The world desperately needs the voices of the people that listen to this podcast, people like Daniel, people like the Global Messengers, people who have been deeply engaged, especially for a long time. I'm a firm believer that that the community of people in Special Olympics have a message that the whole world needs to hear, and that will transform the world if the world will only listen. So please bring that message, bring your ideas, bring your voice, not just to our community, but to the world, because this is a huge opportunity and a moment where the world really needs to hear.
Awesome. Well, for those of you just listening to the audio podcast, go check out the video on YouTube or on Facebook. I believe you should be able to watch on both of the Special Chronicles channels on YouTube and Facebook. But you see it going across the screen here. You can learn more, as Timmy said, spreadtheworld.global. You can follow on social media at Pledge to Include. We'll put those links in the show notes. So if you are driving or walking or running and you can't look down right now, because we want you to be safe if you are driving around and listening to us. And so with that, you of course, we'll include that link. So you listening can find resources in your schools and your workplace and your businesses and join us. I'll put links as well as we're our listeners can make the pledge, as well as the conversation with your sister Kathleen and your niece Molly, who went into them in Berlin, not only in the at the Founders Council, but my mentor and I went into Molly. And her parents, when we were standing in line, getting mulch, similar to like what I'm wearing right now, and it was a lot. So I'll put a link to that conversation because Kathleen and Molly talked a lot about the Founders Council. I know you at the top of the episode, at the top of the hour, you touched just briefly on it, but Kathleen and Molly go more in depth and shared Molly shared even an incredible story, and even your sister Kathleen shared an incredible story. One of them shared when your mom would have these races around your house with one of your friends, I believe. It might have been one of Sam's friends, Tommy's friends, where she would race around. I don't know if we remember that, but Kathleen and Molly shared that story. So, we'll put that in the
show notes. I'm sure they've got a lot of stories. Yeah.
As we come to a close, can you share what you shared? Again, this banner is still going on. Try to turn it off here. Share with our listeners how they can learn more about and connect with their Special Olympics program, either across the country or even across the globe, because we have listeners. As you can imagine, we have thousands of listeners in the U.S. and around the globe. So how can our listeners connect with their local Special Olympics program?
Absolutely. So, I mean, the best way to do it is to find the local program around the corner, around the neighborhood. And chances are, certainly here in the United States and in a lot of countries around the world, there will be programs nearby, because Special Olympics is in almost every country in the world. Some more densely, populated, more programs in certain places than others. And so, here in the States, look it up certainly by state, Special Olympics Maryland, Special Olympics Illinois, and there'll be directories where you can find all the different programs going on, events going on, state games, local games, programs like the one I grew up in, unified basketball, just at our local church gym. And then if you can't find one for your state, wherever you live in the world, look it up for your country, Special Olympics China, Special Olympics Nigeria, Special Olympics Peru. And you'll find information there. So connect locally, again, if not at the national level, at the state level, ideally at the local level. And what most people don't know about Special Olympics is that it's everywhere. So Special Olympics, I think a lot of times people think Special Olympics is like the World Games, and every 2 years. Obviously, a lot of listeners here know that's not true. But as of the last couple of years, I think we broke 100,000 events a year. So there are 100,000 events, Special Olympics events, happening every year all across the globe. So chances are there's one you can find your way to be an athlete, to be a volunteer, to be a coach, and just to be a fan. They're the best events. I was telling her, a fan at an event just last weekend. So we definitely encourage you to go check it out. And you should be able to find the information pretty easily online.
Awesome. I absolutely will. Coming up at the end of this episode, I had one of the new Thousand Tribal Global Messengers, Wyatt, who was from Nebraska, on. And I told you in the pre-show, but it's just such an empowering conversation, not only hearing Wyatt's story of overcoming obstacles, but what we talked about, the impact of the sports side of this movement is so empowering. So I want to encourage you all. It was going to air in April, but I am pushing it up to March 25th because it's Cerebral Palsy Awareness Day. And so, and plus, I just want you all to hear this at the end of March. And so, but I wanted to comment on, you had said that, yes, our listeners can get involved on the national and global level, but at the local, I want to comment on briefly about the local level. One of the speaking opportunities I had as a Southern Tribal Global Messenger at the last World Games in Berlin was speaking on a panel. It was a panel on the local program level. There was our CEO, Mary Davis, was there. Your dad was speaking there. And then our program leaders from all of the regions across the globe. Most of my appearances I made available on this podcast, but that I've got the video, and I have not publicly shared my 2 minutes, 3 minute speech. So maybe I will I will work on trying to share that with our listeners. But Tim, my dad is in the hallway here outside of the studio. So my dad just wanted to say hi.
Hey, Mr. Krokowski, how are you?
You can't hear me probably. He'll listen when the episode goes live. But yeah, he was outside of the studio here. I keep the door open because I want the fresh air in the studio. As we wrap up, before we get to the final question, do you have any final thoughts on your overall time on your now as a 2-time guest podcast that you want to share with all our listeners?
I'm so grateful to you, Daniel, for creating this platform. I think you've created this platform in such a powerful way to bring your voice to the world and to bring the voice of so many people to the world in a unique way that has nothing like it that I've ever experienced. So I'm just honored to get to be on here with you, to get to have this conversation. And I think, you know, we listeners are so lucky to have you leading us and you convening these conversations. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so gratifying. I know over the years, there's times where it's gotten challenging to keep up this platform, to keep up this podcast. But I'm always reminded when I talk to guests, when I even talk to listeners, even at the airport. I just ran into a longtime listener a couple weeks ago, but I'm constantly reminded of the impact that just like what you shared with Spread the Word, but with Special Chronicles, with this podcast, and with this platform, the impact that these stories, that these episodes I'll making every week on this podcast, that I, even at times in the past where I would want to quit and leave, like those times where I would even talk with both of my parents, where it's gotten at times overwhelming to, you know, keep up with it all. But it's so, every time that I talk with a fellow Southern Tribal Google Messenger on the podcast, or talking with a fellow athlete, or just anybody in our Special Olympics and disability community, it's so gratifying and empowering to share these stories, because I know firsthand, I've heard from a guest, and I'm not going to say their name, but I think this will bring our conversation full circle. I heard from a guest, he used the R word on another podcast, and once he started listening, and this was back like 15 years ago, back when I in the first year that I started podcasting, once he started listening to my podcast in that first year, 15 years ago, perspective on disability changed. And I always, like, that story sticks at the top of my mind, because that's the motivation, just like the stories that you shared, but that's the motivation that keeps me going week after week after week, even like over the holidays, and even when those holidays going on, even by pre-taping, that's the motivation that keeps me going, because that's the impact on the mainstream. I'm not just speaking to our Special Olympics and disability audience, but to the mainstream audience, and that's the impact that keeps me going.
Amazing.
So with that, we're going to go ahead and roll a bumper that will introduce this final question. happen on the Special Chronicles podcast. Let's go ahead and whoa that bumper.
We are this athlete.
We are the ambassadors of an uprising.
Peaceful protesters.
In a rebellion against anyone.
Let's fear difference.
Difference.
Difference. Our demands are
equality.
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 Dignity.
Dignity.
Dignity. And the recognition of our
shared humanity.
We will not stop
or accept anything less.
Today, our world is
more divided than ever.
Coming together has never been more urgent.
The revolution is inclusion. Find out more at jointherevolution.org.
Ever since I attended the Special Olympics 2019 in World Games in Abu Dhabi, along with you and the other Sunshine of Global Messengers and your family and the many, many people that attended those stoic World Games, I've been asking all of the guests one final question, and I'll conclude with you as well. We talked about the impact of inclusion, and I think this final question will, of course, they pulled us for the past hour and 10 minutes, hear us talk about spread the word. But this final question, really, we want our listeners to not just consume this content, but to take action and go into their communities and really, like what the campaign says, we want our listeners to really spread the word of inclusion in their communities. And so I'll conclude with you. What does inclusion mean to you?
I think inclusion for me, is a feeling. Inclusion for me is a feeling of walking into a room and knowing that you are welcome, knowing that you belong, knowing that there is someone in this room that wants to sit next to you, that wants to talk to you, that wants to ask you how your day was, that wants to play basketball with you, and vice versa, that wants to hang in a difficult conversation with you, even if we disagree. So I think inclusion is that felt sense. And I think that's what we're trying to spread, is that felt sense of, in this room, in this group, in this gym, in this church, you are welcome. You and all of you are welcome here. And I think it's that sense of welcome, that sense of belonging, that feeling is to me what inclusion means and is really at the core of what this movement is all about. And Special Olympics obviously takes the lens of, you know, let's start on the sports field. That's a place we can meet. And then the impact ripples out from there.
Perfectly said. I couldn't agree more. And speaking of that, what starts the inclusion that starts on the sports field, I've talked with some co-workers at United Airlines. And I similar to the Unified Basketball that you have played, I still play a basketball, not Unified, but the traditional basketball, including the beginning. So a month ago, we had a tournament that my team got first place. Ended up making 18 points over two games, and some coworkers have told me, whether it's supervisors or customer service agents, or even the chief customer officer at United Airlines, used to play basketball, and I've connected with coworkers over a love of sport and that teamwork. So your definition of inclusion is a perfect way to wrap up this episode. So thank you again, Tim, for coming on the program. A few reminders to all of you listening. If you want us to continue podcasting and help us raise $15,000 to operate our studio, every month we have to keep the lights on in the studio, the website hosting, audio hosting, video hosting. There's all these slots every month. You can support this podcast at specialchronicles.com/give. Just click on give now on specialchronicles.com. You can shop our merch store. We've got our new Disabled Voices Matter line of merch, specialchronicles.com/merch. No, shops, slash shops. Oh, yeah. Just go to specialchronicles.com, click on shop, and you can you can buy a t-shirt, hoodie, coffee mug, candles, and 60% of the profits will go back to Special Chronicles. 60-60. You can keep following this podcast. New episodes will drop every Monday. We've got some exciting episodes coming to you this month of March and even April, so that I can't wait for you all to heal. So stay tap that follow button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and you will be able to you can not miss all original content that help you make impactful and inclusive connections in your life through our podcast. Remember to visit our website, specialchronicles.com, where you can stream archives of over 750 episodes absolutely for free, and to follow Special Chronicles on social media, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you get your podcast. Once again, thank you, Tim, for I kept you on for the past hour and 15 minutes, but thank you. It's been just an incredible time to have you share with the listeners some personal stories and the impact of Spread the Word with all our listeners.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. And until then, everyone, have a great week. And remember, choose to include. Oh, pledge to include, I should say. Pledge to include. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Special Chronicles podcast. Our podcast was produced by Daniel Smikowski on the Special Chronicles Network. Follow Special Chronicles on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Subscribe, rate, and review Special Chronicles on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website, specialchronicles.com, where you can stream our archives of over 500 episodes for absolutely for free. Also, there's a list of our favorites, original series, award-winning columns, and blogs. And sign up for our newsletter to receive exclusive bonus content delivered to your inbox. Again, specialchronicles.com. Special Chronicles is hosted by Podbean Podcast Hosting. Our live streams are powered by StreamYard. Thanks, as always, to our business manager, Adam Smukowski, who always encourages us to never give up. I'm Daniel Smukowski, back next week with more stories.
Special Chronicles, giving respect and a voice to people with special needs.